Radio Prague News.
The Chamber of Deputies has ended a six-day filibuster and passed the government's reform package. Doctors' unions have pledged a new campaign to push the health ministry to make good on salary promises. And non-profit organizations have reported to the UN that conditions for the disabled in the Czech Republic are worsening. The Chamber of Deputies ended a six-day filibuster on Sunday evening and passed the government's reform package. After nearly a week of obstruction from the left-wing opposition, the coalition parties were able to ratify the 14 bills covering health care, pension, welfare and other reforms in roughly half an hour, and with a comfortable majority of 8-9 votes. The opposition Social Democratic Party is considering challenging the coalition's rules of procedure in the Constitutional Court. Doctors' unions have pledged a new campaign to push the health ministry to make good on salary promises. The unions say Health Minister Leos Heger's offer of gradual rises for hospital physicians over the course of the next year is not enough, and are demanding agreed salary increases as of January. The health ministry negotiated a 10% rise for hospital physicians in 2012 in the spring of this year after the doctors threatened mass resignations that would have meant major disruption of the entire healthcare system. Mr. Heger has since decided to provide a 6.25% rise as of January, with the rest to come later on. The unions are therefore organizing a monthly series of events to hold the ministry to its word. They say they will then decide whether to go further. Conditions for the handicapped in the Czech Republic have not improved in recent years, according to a new report provided to the UN. The 17 non-profit organizations that worked on the report told reporters on Monday that conditions for the disabled had actually worsened in many regards. The organizations cited in particular economic austerity measures and social reforms, which were of detriment to the disabled and saved the state only $3 billion. They also included a lack of equal educational and job opportunities and less decision-making in politics. The report, which deals generally with the rights of the handicapped, was the second to be sent to the UN following the government's own report. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be partly cloudy, with daytime highs of around 13 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. So the Czech government finally gets through a package of long-awaited reforms, that in spite of a six-day filibuster. Plus, the Czechs get another one over the Russians, this time in Moscow, as Kvitová and co. win the Fed Cup. And yes, he's back. In this edition of One on One, we talk to the former US lawyer Edward Fagan, who this time intends to cash in on pre-World War II Karlovy-Vary bonds.
The authorities in the Czech Republic are sadly mistaken about what they're facing.
Indeed, well, that coming up. There'll also be another chance to hear sound check, so please stay tuned to Radio Prague. After a grueling, week-long filibuster in the lower house, the centre-right coalition government on Sunday pushed a package of key reform bills through Parliament, overturning a Senate veto, after a long and fierce battle with the opposition. The bills, which will launch an overhaul of the pension, healthcare and welfare systems, among other things, will still need to be signed by the President and are expected to take effect at the start of next year. Daniela Lazarová has the details.
A round of hearty applause from coalition MPs at the end of what has been an unprecedented week of filibustering that kept the lower house in almost permanent session for 6 days straight. Although the ruling coalition had a comfortable majority for its planned reforms, the opposition Social Democrats and Communists used every conceivable tactic to prevent the inevitable. When their arsenal was finally exhausted, it took the lower house a mere 35 minutes to pass the package of key reforms. Prime Minister Petr Nečas.
Je to výsledek vlastně šestidenní.
This victory is the result of a fierce six-day battle in the lower house with obstruction tactics such as Parliament has never before witnessed in the country's democratic history. obstruction tactics, which I must say were unreasonable and excessive.
In order to break the endless circle of filibustering, which could have gone on for much longer, the coalition parties themselves selected a highly unorthodox tactic. They linked debate on the 14 bills into one, a move that was questioned by lawyers and slammed by the opposition as unfair and in violation of procedural rules. Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka said his party would consider filing a complaint about it to the Constitutional Court.
I believe we should only address the Constitutional Court when we have strong legal arguments for a complaint, and I do not want to make an emotional decision based on the events of the past 6-7 days in the lower house. We will consult lawyers and see if there is any way of getting the approved reforms rescinded.
For their part, coalition MPs are considering proposing a change to procedural rules which would in future preclude filibustering. They say that a model for change could be found in Germany, where the time allowed to parties for speeches is derived from their number of seats in parliament. Whether or not this is done, the battle is over, and according to the Prime Minister, it has left the governing coalition strengthened and united. If all goes according to plan, the respective bills will launch an overhaul of the publicly funded pension system by introducing a private pension scheme and a higher retirement age for both men and women, make Czechs take on more financial responsibility for the health care they receive, affect tax changes, and significantly tighten the rules on welfare in a bid that is expected to bring the country's public finance deficit under control.
Daniela Lazarová with that report on the goings-on in the lower house this weekend. Moving on, you're tuned to Radio Prague, and with news of success for the Czech Republic's Fed Cup team and a roundup of the rest of the sport, here's Jan Wellinger.
That's right, a success indeed. The Czech Republic has now won its first Fed Cup title in 23 years. That took place on Sunday when players Květa Peške and Lucia Hradecká defeated Russia's Maria Kirilenko and Elena Vesnina in a decisive doubles match. The final result overall was the Czech Republic 3 to Russia's 2. Instrumental in the final were two singles wins by world number 2 Petra Kvitova in what for her has been a phenomenal season that includes winning Wimbledon and the recent WTA Championships. Regarding the Fed Cup, the Czechs now have a total of 6 titles, but Sunday's was the first since the Czech Republic and Slovakia split up in 1993. After her and her teammates' triumph on Sunday in the doubles, here's what player Květa Peške had to say.
We feel fantastic. I mean, that was an unbelievable experience for us after so many years. It's really amazing feeling, and I don't know, it's tough to describe. For me, I'm playing for 13 years on this team, and I'm so proud on that, and on all the girls and organization, the guys we have around. It was a fantastic week, and we are so, so happy we did it this time.
And that was tennis player Květa Peške on the Czechs' success in the Fed Cup, the first in 23 years. Turning to football, things have been picking up for Slavia under new head coach František Straka, who was criticized at first by diehard fans. The Prague club has now won 3 matches in a row. At the weekend, Slavia came back from 1-0 against defending champions Viktoria Plzeň to win. Zbigniew Pospiech scored the equalizer and Hurka put Slavia ahead. The team is now 9th in the standings, while Plzeň are 4th. First in league are Sparta Prague, followed by Liberec, and Mladá Boleslav rounds out in the 3rd spot. And in football further abroad, Czech goalkeeper Petr Čech is looking doubtful for the Czech Republic's opening playoff qualifier against Montenegro for the Euro 2012 Championships. The goalie broke his nose in the 9th minute in a match against Blackburn in the Premier League after he and fellow Chelsea teammate Ashley Cole collided. In spite of the accident, Czech played until the end of the game and kept a clean sheet. Chelsea won 1-0. On his official website, Czech indicated he was uncertain about the upcoming playoff, that all-important key match, because they are putting together a mask for the player. He joked on his website that if he indeed wears that headgear complete with the skull he's worn since 2006 due to a skull fracture, that he would now look like Batman. Turning to hockey, and in the NHL at the weekend, the Philadelphia Flyers demolished Columbus 9-2. Jaromir Jagr scored once and earned an assist for the Flyers, while teammate Jakub Voracek also scored but earned two assists. Jagr is currently the top Czech player in the NHL with 15 points in 14 games. In other action, goalie Tomáš Vokoun lost in net for Washington, allowing four goals by the New York Islanders in what turned out to be a 5-2 loss. And Montreal Canadien Tomáš Plekanec racked up three assists for his team against the New York Rangers. But it wasn't enough. The Habs lost 5-3. And that's the sport for today.
Very well done to the Czech Republic's Fed Cup team with that victory there in Moscow. Moving on, though, here on Radio Prague, and time for One-on-One. Jan Richter talks to the former US lawyer Edward Fagan about his return to the Czech Republic and his case against the Czech authorities.
The high-profile US reparations lawyer Edward Fagan is waging a battle with the Czech authorities over bonds issued in 1924 by the town Karlovy Vary. Mr. Fagan made his name in the 1990s when he successfully sued Swiss banks on behalf of Holocaust victims for more than $1 billion. Now he says he is one of the owners of Karlovy Vary bonds that were never fully paid off and whose total value would now amount to some $500 million. But Czech officials say these bonds expired a long time ago, and when the media-savvy lawyer showed up at Karlovy Vary Town Hall and later at the Czech Finance Ministry, no one was willing to meet with him. I spoke to Edward Fagan about his claims and expectations.
I have to follow the protocols that are in place when a bondholder wants to authenticate, prove, and then get payment, demand payment on his or her bonds. So I've got to follow strict rules. They can play this game. They can hide in the city hall. They can close the door. They can say, no, you're not welcome there. All they do when they do that is they put zeros behind the amount that they're going to end up paying. And they look stupid. It's embarrassing. I'm not a bad guy. I believe I have a valid bond. I'm just coming to present my demand in a proper, polite business way. If they want to hide inside City Hall, that's okay. Sooner or later, they have to come out.
How did you become involved in the bonds business?
The bonds, I came across them by accident. I came across the Czech bonds most recently, but in 2005 or late 2004... I was asked to consult with a group on bonds related, the bonds that came out of the Weimar Republic in Germany. I worked on that, and I continue to work on that issue. Been doing it now for 9 years on that, or 7 years on that. And those bonds actually led me in great part to these bonds, the bonds, the Karlovy Vary bonds, and the City of Prague bonds and the Czechoslovakia state bonds came about by accident. The first bonds that came out of the Czech Republic were actually Sudeten bonds.
What makes you think that these bonds, after all what happened in the 20th century in Czechoslovakia, are still valid and should be today paid off?
Well, there's some very simple, basic principles. First is, they're securities, they're debts, and as long as they are not paid, they're like insurance policies. Until the debt is paid or until the bond is canceled, it's out there and it has to be paid. The issue is the debtor still around? Is the bond still valid? And is the claim in time? The answer to all three of those questions in this case is, yes, the debtor's still here. Yes, the bonds are still valid. And has there been a lapse of time? The answer is no.
Some people say that part of these bonds issued by Karlovy Vary in 1924 were already paid off before the war, and then another installment was paid right after the war, I think in 1946. And then the Communist Federal Finance Ministry of Czechoslovakia reached some kind of agreement with the bondholders, the remaining bondholders, I think it was in 1984, which might be the key to whether your claim is justified or not. How did you calculate the actual worth, the value of those bonds that is now around $500 million?
Well, actually, that $500 million number is not mine. That's a creation of the Minister of Finance, of the Czech National Bank, and of Karlovy Vary. I never made a demand for that amount of money. What I said was, I have bonds. I gave an estimated value based on the amount of interest payments per year for the 87 years and the present value, and I brought that per bond to a specific number. Then I also, based on the research that I had done, I gave what I believe to be a reasonable calculation of how many bonds are actually still out there. Not bonds that I have, not pay Ed Fagan and his group, but how many bonds are still out there so that when I approach the authorities, the debtor, the Karlovy Vary, when I approach the Czech National Bank and copied the Minister of Finance, I let them know the scope of what they might be facing. That's this number, this $500 million number. There was an agreement in 1984. That agreement was because the Czech government wanted gold back from the United States that had been seized. It was gold that the Nazis took. The Americans froze the assets. And at a time when it was still a communist country, they wanted to make a deal to try to free up the gold. And the American delegation said, if we're going to give you the gold back, what you really need to do is you need to make arrangements to pay these bonds. The problem is they didn't pay all the bonds, and they didn't establish a procedure through which bondholders could make claims. In 1986, they paid 2.5% as sort of a down payment towards the debt on the bonds. And the bonds are still out there. Nothing happened from 1986 until now. The authorities in the Czech Republic are sadly mistaken about what they're facing. It's not just one bond or two bonds. There's potentially probably 1,000 or more of these bonds out there. That's just the Karlovy Vary bonds. There's also City of Prague bonds and Czechoslovakia state bonds. So this is an enormous problem for them. And all they could have done and all they had to do and what they should still do is sit down with me and perhaps we can find a way to resolve this.
How much would you get if indeed the Czech government recognizes your claims?
How much would my group get? In the millions. But what they really have to do is the Czech authorities and these debtors have to follow the principles that are established and are out there with regard to defaulted securities. And defaulted securities are not a thing of the past. Greece just defaulted on its securities. This is a crisis. It's been going on for years. Countries borrow money. Cities borrow money. They don't pay it back. And then they create a mechanism by which to pay back legitimate bondholders. That's what the Czech authorities have to do. They have to figure out how many bonds have actually been paid and take them off the market. Then they have to figure out how many bonds are still outstanding, what amount was paid towards those in 1986, and how much is still left to be paid. That's their problem. And by the way, that 1984 agreement only covered American bondholders. It didn't cover someone who, if they were in another country, if they're another nationality, and they had this bond, they aren't bound by that agreement. That's their problem. They need to learn their history.
You're going to bring the case to a court in the Czech Republic, or Perhaps in the United States, where the 1924 Karlovy bonds were issued?
I'm not going to sue in the Czech Republic. Why in God's name would I sue in the Czech Republic? There's no need to. These, as you noted, the bonds were issued in the United States. I'd sue in the United States. I don't know whether I'd sue in New York or in Florida. New York is where the bonds were issued in some instances. I live in Florida. I can pick.
In the Czech Republic, you became known some 10 years ago when you brought a case against the Temelín nuclear power plant, and you said that you were going to stop it, and none of that happened eventually. Are you surprised that you're not taking perhaps as seriously as you feel you should in the Czech Republic?
Yes and no. In the old days, I took on some cases, and I had business relationships with people who I trusted. And so I handled certain parts of the cases, and they were supposed to handle other parts. The people that I worked with in Temelín were paid $50,000 to do a job, and they didn't do it. I was not able to continue that case because I was involved with other things, although I was helping the Austrians on that. As far as am I taken seriously, I have failed in some cases, and that's okay. If you want to focus on the failures, that's fine. If you want to focus on the successes far outweigh the failures. Think of like a sports match. As a plaintiff's lawyer, you only have to bat a third of the time. If you're successful a third of the time, you do good. So my successes brought in over $8 billion for victims. In cases, probably 20-something cases, that were all these Holocaust-related cases. And then after that, or while that was going on, other cases were lost. If you want to weigh them, I'd say I probably had a better batting average than most.
Finally, Mr. Fagan, you've been coming to Prague in the last couple of years or so. Is Prague your European base of operations?
It is. It's my European base of operations because the Czech Republic has actually become the center for efforts to recover properties that were stolen in the Holocaust and that have yet to be restituted. So the center for all this activity is here in the Czech Republic. There were declarations. In the last few years, there's an institute called the European ESLI, the European Shoah Legacy Institute. It's here in the Czech Republic, and I'm going to focus on the Czech Republic, Hungary, and artwork that's in Russia.
So if the Czech Republic didn't know that Edward Fagan is back in town, well, they certainly do now. That was One-on-One with Jan Richter talking to the former US lawyer Edward Fagan. Moving on here on Radio Prague, time for another sound check, and this week is presented by Christian Falvey.
Hello and welcome to Soundcheck, our program to help you learn Czech through song lyrics, and in this case, place names as well. The Czech Republic is packed with towns and villages with bizarre names, from Aš to Žabeň, the name of the latter having something to do with frogs. But just looking at some parts of Prague is enough to give you an idea. Here's the folk singer Pepa Nos thinking about what people from different, strangely named parts of Prague might be doing at the moment in his song Copak asi dělá.
Copak asi právě dělá, občan hrdlo řez. Na dělání dírek si šel koupit nebo zez.
The most sinisterly named quarter of Prague must be Hrdlořezí, a Pacific residential area that, if the name is anything to go by, was apparently occupied more than 500 years ago either by clumsy barbers or knife-wielding murderers, because literally the name means cutthroats, Hrdlo meaning throat. And that's not the only part of town that literally got a name for criminality. Měcholupy, a suburb, means pouch thieves, the latter part of the word coming from lopit, to rob. Back towards the city centre, then, is Strashnitsa, a horrible-sounding place, as Strashni means horrible, and Strashit, to scare. But apparently it comes from a surname intended to frighten malevolent spirits. In any case, fear not. Between these places is the much more hospitable Hostivaj, where the name suggests that they cook vajit for their guests, hosti. Unless the original meaning was that they cook their guests. There are, of course, plenty of normal place names in Prague, like Staré Město, Old City, Malá Strana, Small Side, of the river, that is, Černý Most, Black Bridge, or Královské Vinohrady, the King's Vineyards. The district of Modrany takes its name from blue flowers that grew there, probably blue modrá hyacinths. In Kolodier, literally wheelwrights, there once lived wheelwrights. And if I tell you that řepy means beets, then you can imagine what grew there long before the prefab houses started sprouting up. Were those places named by particularly prosaic Praguers, or is most every name ultimately prosaic? Three of the places that catch the ear of the intermediate Czech learner are Smíchov, Anděl, and Djablice. If you go to Djablice looking for the saucy, devilish women that the name suggests, you will be disappointed, finding only an astronomical observatory and an enormous landfill. It was actually named after a family called Davel. As for Smíchov, which sounds like a place of laughter, Smích, the name is due neither to the nearby Staropramen brewery nor to the smiling, happy customers in the new shopping malls there. In fact, people have debated the meaning of this quarter for centuries, giving rise to many a legend. But the truth seems to come from a period of ancient zoning reforms, when people and businesses in the area were smíchaní, or mixed. And in Smíchov, 100 years ago, at the busy corner where the trams compete with people for control of the new pedestrian zone, there was a pub. And on that pub, there was a golden angel, whence the building took the name At the Golden Angel, U Zlatého Anděla. The surrounding area is now called Anděl, and where the golden angel stood is now an enormous portrait of a modern angel from the German film Wings of Desire, set into the glass of a swervy new business and shopping center. But that's all the strange and wonderful names we have time for on this soundcheck. So for now, enjoy Prague if you get here, and naschledanou.
The music of Pepa Nos and a children's choir as well, ending sound check for today here on Radio Prague, and indeed Radio Prague for today. I'll just point you towards our online webpage. It is, of course, www.radio.cz, and go to the English section there, or the French section, or the German section, no problem. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter. You can contact us that way as well. Anyway, it's a beautiful autumnal day here in Prague. So from me, Peter Smith, until next time. Bye-bye.